Well, let's go to the third question. What is the war against terrorism? And side question, what's terrorism? The war against terrorism has been described in high places as a struggle against a plague, a cancer, which is spread by barbarians, by depraved opponents of civilization itself. That's a feeling that I share. The words I'm quoting, however, happen to be from 20 years ago. That's President Reagan and his Secretary of State. The Reagan administration came into office 20 years ago declaring that the war against international terrorism would be the core of our foreign policy, describing it in terms of the kind I just mentioned and others. It was the core of our foreign policy. The Reagan administration responded to this plague spread by depraved opponents of civilization itself by creating an extraordinary international terrorist network, totally unprecedented in scale, which carried out massive atrocities all over the world, partly nearby, but not only there. I won't run through the record. You're all educated people, so I'm sure you learned about it in high school. But I'll just mention one case, which is totally uncontroversial, so we don't have to argue about it. By no means the most extreme, but uncontroversial. It's uncontroversial because of the judgments of the highest international authorities, the International Court of Justice, the World Court, and the UN Security Council. So this one is uncontroversial, at least among people who have some minimal concern for international law, human rights, justice, and other things like that. And now I'll leave you an exercise. You can estimate the size of that category by simply asking how often this uncontroversial case has been mentioned in the commentary of the last month. And it's a particularly relevant one, not only because it's uncontroversial, but because it does offer a precedent as to how a law-abiding state did respond, in fact, to a case of international terrorism, which is uncontroversial, and was even more extreme than the events of September 11th. I'm talking about the Reagan-U.S. war against Nicaragua, which left tens of thousands of people dead, the country ruined, perhaps beyond recovery. Nicaragua did respond. They didn't respond by setting off bombs in Washington. They responded by taking it to the World Court, presenting a case. They had no problem putting together evidence. The World Court accepted their case, ruled in their favor, condemned what it called the unlawful use of force, which is another word for international terrorism, by the United States, ordered the United States to terminate the crime and to pay massive reparations. The United States, of course, dismissed the court judgment with total contempt and announced that it would not accept the jurisdiction of the court henceforth. Nicaragua then went to the UN Security Council, which considered a resolution calling on all states to observe international law. No one was mentioned, but everyone understood. The United States vetoed the resolution. It now stands as the only state on record which has both been condemned by the World Court for international terrorism and has vetoed the Security Council resolution calling on states to observe international law. Nicaragua then went to the General Assembly, where there's technically no veto, but a negative U.S. vote amounts to a veto. It passed a similar resolution, with only the United States, Israel, and El Salvador opposed. The following year, again, this time the United States could only rally Israel to the cause, so two votes opposed to observing international law. At that point, Nicaragua couldn't do anything lawful. They'd tried all the measures. They don't work in a world that is ruled by force. This case, I must say, is uncontroversial, but it's by no means the most extreme. We gain a lot of insight into our own culture and society and what's happening now by asking how much we know about all this and how much we talk about it, how much you learn about it in school, you know, how much it's all over the front pages. And this is only the beginning. The United States responded to the World Court and the Security Council by immediately escalating the war very quickly. And that was a bipartisan decision, incidentally. The terms of the war were also changed. For the first time, there were official orders given to the terrorist army to attack what are called soft targets, meaning undefended civilian targets, and to keep away from the Nicaraguan army. They were able to do that because the United States had total control of the air over Nicaragua. The mercenary army was supplied with advanced communication equipment. It wasn't a guerrilla army in the normal sense, and could get instructions about the disposition of Nicaraguan army forces so they could attack agricultural collectives, health clinics, and so on, soft targets, with impunity. Those were the official orders. What was the reaction? It was known, and there was a reaction to it. The policy was regarded as sensible by left liberal opinion. So Michael Kinsley, who represents the left in mainstream discussion, wrote an article in which he said that we shouldn't be too quick to criticize this policy, as Human Rights Watch had just done. He said, a sensible policy must meet the test of cost-benefit analysis. That is, and I'm quoting now, an analysis of the amount of blood and misery that will be poured in and the likelihood that democracy will emerge at the other end. Democracy, as the U.S. Understands the term, which is graphically illustrated in the surrounding countries. Notice that it's axiomatic that the United States U.S. elites have the right to conduct the analysis and to pursue the project if it passes their tests. And it did pass their tests. It worked. When Nicaragua finally succumbed to a superpower assault, commentators openly and cheerfully lauded the success of the methods that were adopted and described them accurately. So I'll quote Time magazine just to pick one. Lauded the success of the methods adopted, direct the economy and prosecute a long and deadly proxy war until the exhausted natives overthrow the unwanted government themselves with a cost to us that is minimal, and leaving the victims with wrecked bridges, sabotaged power stations, and ruined farms, and thus providing the U.S. candidate with a winning issue, ending the impoverishment of the people of Nicaragua. The New York Times had a headline saying, Americans united in joy at this outcome.